safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama, sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store, and by Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, proudly selling Liberty Safes, American-made safes for all your valuables, an interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
The city lights don't shine. I live my life the simple way, and you know I'm doing just fine. I fish, I hunt, and I shoot my guns, and I raise a little hell. The things I do, you know I do them well. This is my America, and I'm so proud.
Welcome to the Armed Alabama Show for November 19, 2019. This is retired circuit judge and NRA firearms instructor Rusty Johnston, along with my co-host, NRA law enforcement instructor Adam Strange. If you've never heard the Armed Alabama Show, start listening to us every Tuesday night at 7.05 p.m. Central Time, here, right here on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama. Now, in the Mobile metro area, and that means from Pensacola over to Pensacola, Florida, Pascagoula, Mississippi, you can pick up that station. I think there's 650,000 people in its listening range. But if you're out of that area or don't have a radio, whatever, you can listen to us live via audio stream at either www.armedalabama.com/radio-show or www.fmtalk1065.com. You can also watch us live on both Facebook and YouTube. On Facebook, you go to Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. And on YouTube, it's just simple. Just punch in Armed Alabama, and you'll get there. And when you go to YouTube, please subscribe. We're almost to 1,500 subscribers, which kind of gets us to another level. Now, remember the call-in or text-in line number here. That's to call in a question or comment or text it in. Is 251-343-0106. Armed Alabama is Alabama's only farms-based FM radio talk show, and we've had a great 3.5 years. We'll be 4 years old in March. Talk about pistols, revolvers, shotguns, concealed carry, ammunition, training, and attacks on our God-given right to protect ourselves and our family. Now, tonight, we have a very special guest. As you know, we have elections coming up in March, and our guest tonight is John Castorani. I'm going to get there right. John Castorani, who's a Republican candidate for the United States House of Representatives, District 1. That's the Southwest Alabama area. John is a Fair Oaks, Alabama native, a United States Army veteran, as well as a firearms enthusiast, so that's really pretty neat. He's running on a platform that protects the Second Amendment, protects border security, which we certainly need, national security, and cutting all this federal debt and overhauling our health care system, which has, you know, was ruined under the last administration. His website is www.castoranifor.congress. Castorani for Congress. I'm going to get that. .com. And I'm going to put, yeah, I think it's posted, it is actually posted on the Facebook page. We're going to have a call in. Has he called in yet?
Yes, sir, he has. We have on the line with us.
Adam, I'm going to give you over, and you can talk to Adam Bourne for a minute. He's going to tell us about a debate coming up Thursday night.
Yes, Adam Bourne is the chairman of the Mobile County Republican Party, and we have him
that's
on.
That's Jason Bourne's cousin.
That's right.
Yeah.
And welcome to Armed Alabama. Adam, how are you today?
Thank you both. Glad to be here. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for calling in.
Thank you.
So you're going to call... You're going to tell us all about the debate coming up this Thursday night, correct?
That's right. Yeah, we're co-sponsoring, as the Republican Committee, we're co-sponsoring a debate with FM Talk 106.5 and WKRG. It's a debate between all five Republican congressional candidates for District 1 to follow in the footsteps of Bradley Byrne, our current congressman, who's seeking the U.S. Senate seat. And the debate's going to be at J.C. Davis Auditorium in Chickasaw, which is just right off of exit 10, off of I-65, fairly easy to get to. And it will start promptly at 6 o'clock on Thursday, and it'll be broadcast live on 106.5 and WKRG. So they're starting promptly at 6, kind of asking people to go ahead and, you know, take their seats a little bit in advance of that. So we do have a lot of seating. We have we started with about 200 seats. It looks like by some miracle we found an extra 50 today, folding chairs. So hopefully we'll have plenty of room for everybody, and certainly encourage folks to come out and see the event. It's really the first of its kind that MECREC has put on, at least in recent years. And we're just very excited about doing it.
Well, thank you, Adam. If you will, just tell people how they can find out more about the event and how they can get a ticket, which is free, but you still have to get a ticket. Is that correct?
That's right. We welcome walk-ins. However, we did start an Eventbrite page to try to get a sense of how many people will be coming out. From what I understand, the last time we looked at it, it looked like almost 200 seats were reserved on Eventbrite, so we went out and, you know, rounded up some extra folding chairs. Still working on getting some additional ones, so there's a chance we may have up to 300 seats by the time this thing is over. We're just having to kind of go around and round up enough chairs to make this work. So it's a good problem to have, because the response has been tremendous. So if you want to go ahead and just reserve one of those spots, you can go to the Eventbrite page. I believe you just go to Eventbrite and type in Alabama District 1 Congressional Debate. It'll come right up. And you can go there and put yourself down as attending, and we really hope to fill every seat and maybe a little more than that. So it should be a big deal for Chickasaw and a big deal for the county committee. We're just really excited about doing it.
And Adam, we'll put a link to that on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And my condolences for your position. You know, I held that job from 85 through 89 or something like that. I can't remember, but it was worse for you. It was two terms, actually, the worst 4 years of my life. We met monthly then, I'll tell you.
It is a lot of work, but it's satisfying. But I imagine both of you as former chairman, the current chairman is probably always going to envy the former chairman.
It's where the rubber meets the road in
it
politics.
Really is.
Unsung heroes, but the whole thing would fall apart if you didn't have the county chairman there.
Absolutely. I enjoyed my time as county chairman, and I was fortunate for Adam Bourne to be my vice chairman. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And Adam,
I only won by four votes, so that was that made it more exciting.
You can also go to the Mobile County Republican Party Facebook page and find out more information about it. And also, while you're checking, you can look at the MobileGOP.com or .org, excuse me, and you can find out more information about the Mobile County Republican Party.
Yes, that would be wonderful. We want as many people to get involved as possible. I know it's not why I called in, but it's important to note, for the first time in a very long time, the local Democratic Party is fielding a full slate of candidates. They have candidates running for just about every office. So we really got to bring our A game in the general election coming up in November.
Well, that makes it better. You know, more's better than having an opponent.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Chairman Bourne. If you will, give us one more time the rundown of about the event. Where is it at? What time?
That's right. It's Thursday night, 6 p.m., J.C. Davis Auditorium in Chickasaw, right off of exit 10 off of Lee Street. So it's the first right when you get off of Lee Street. It's the first right, and you'll hit the auditorium that's visible from the interstate, and we'll be happy to have you all there. I'll start promptly at 6 and should end about 7:30.
Well, good.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I sure appreciate you calling in. We're coming up to a break, so thank you so much, Mr. Bourne. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you both. Have a good evening.
Take care.
Yes, sir.
Looks like we have a break coming up, folks. We'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes. Give us a call if you want, 251-343-0106.
For more Armed Alabama.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Now remember, when things look bad, and it looks like you're not going to make it, then you got to get mean. I mean plumb mad dog mean. Because if you lose your head and you give up, then you neither live nor win. That's just the way it is.
More Clint Eastwood and Josie Wales, right, Adam?
Yes, actually one of my favorite movie quotes right there.
Yeah, that's one of the few movies.
Mainly, you just got to suck it up and make it happen.
That's right. Well, John, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and about the race, and you know all those things.
Yeah, sure thing. I don't know if people can hear me.
Better give you a mic.
So, my name's John Castorani. I'm originally from Fairhope, Alabama. I was raised by a single mother out there in Baldwin County. Instead of going to college right away, I went off and joined the military. My mom made my mom proud for that. After that, got to enjoy my time in the intelligence community, in the IC. I've worked all over places like NSA Georgia, the National Ground Intelligence Center in Charlottesville, Virginia, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, in Northern Virginia as a targeting officer for the past 3 years, I think, 2.5, 3 years. I obviously had to resign my job. It's a Hatch Act violation to run the office. And, but I spent the past 2.5, 3 years working in North Africa, trying to target the human beings that killed our ambassador.
And kind of after Hillary let that all collapse.
Yes, sir. Right.
Chaos.
What difference does it make?
Well, the real problem is the flood of people that are coming into Europe.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we talked about some of the, you know, the Lockerbie terrorist was released because he had terminal cancer back to Libya. And, of course, as of, you know, 2 years later, he wasn't dead. So.
Yeah, Libya's a real mess right now. So maybe your listeners don't understand the full realm of what's going on, the full scope of things.
We've been involved in Libya since Thomas Jefferson was president. Well, before that, actually.
Absolutely. Us and the Italians and most of our European allies have been involved in North Africa for a while. But right now, Libya can't even grow their own food. They're solely dependent on the National Oil Commission, the NOC.
Yeah.
So they're exporting of oil. And I believe 80% of their exports go to our European allies. So seeing that Russia's getting involved, especially because you have two factions of government, the Government of National Accord, and then the Libyan National Army, which is not a national army, it's actually a government. So you have the GNA is controlling the west part of Libya, northwest part of Libya, and then you have the LNA is controlling the
And it would be to the Russians' advantage to have those oil fields burst into flame.
Absolutely.
Because they're a big oil producer.
And right in the middle is what we call the oil crescent, so we're dubbed the oil crescent. And this is before we even talk about the terrorist organizations operating in Libya. This is just the political realm post-Gaddafi, which was a major mistake by the Democrats in charge of the Obama administration.
As crazy as he was, he kind of held the place together, and everybody.
Some places need a good dictator.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying.
And after, you know, he was kind of like a mad dog that was whipped and kind of came into line.
Absolutely. So now you're seeing that they're fighting in Tripoli, which is on the west side, northwest side of the country. The LNA is making advances. They've kind of stalled. But what we're seeing now is you've got UAE, the Emiratis, and the Russians backing the LNA, and then you've got the GNA being backed by the Turks. So we've got a NATO ally, not a very good NATO ally,
NATO ally. What's happened to Turkey, you know.
So they're taking shots back and forth at each other with drones and engagements, especially around Misrata, the town of Misrata, which is, you know, I think 50 kilometers southeast of Tripoli, if I might be mistaken. It's a little bit further. But we're seeing that, and then you've got the southern portion of the country, which is out in the desert, down near a town called Abari, where Al-Qaeda has kind of like made a stronghold. Where
and I understand the slave trade has made a big comeback.
Absolutely. Human trafficking from the Sahel region is huge down there.
And where are all the do-gooders, you know? I mean, this is when you need do-gooders.
Well, when you've got an environment that is based off of the National Oil Commission and you've got fighting in the oil crescent where they can't export oil at the level that they were under Gaddafi's regime, we're seeing that more of our European allies are going to places like Iran with Jigpoa,
yeah,
and Russia to buy their oil, which is bad for us on a near peer front. And then in the southern portion where these guys aren't getting those checks from the NOC, they can't afford to eat, they're turning to Al-Qaeda, which most of the Al-Qaeda guys, Al-Qaeda and the Islamic Maghreb, they're from out of country, like Tunisians.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some Syrians that are coming there. And what they're doing is they're just kind of giving them quarter. And these guys are desert runners, desert experts. It's like the desert Silk Road. I mean, I'm serious. To and from the Sahel into Sudan and into Somalia, all places it traverses through Libya and the Libyan desert. So we're seeing that Al-Qaeda is given safe haven, and they're producing jobs for these individuals, and they're giving them food. And yeah, they're running
whoever
weapons
for feeds
them.
You know, they're going to get your loyalty.
Right. So, you know, I am all for ending wars, but I know that on the grand scheme of everything,
Well, there's some worth fighting and some aren't.
Absolutely.
You know?
We cannot allow our near-peer adversaries a stronghold in the Middle East, especially with a country like Libya, where they have so much oil.
Like I say, we've been dealing with them since Washington, Jefferson,
We don't want
Barbary pirates.
Right. We don't want our European allies using Russia and using Iran to get oil.
Yeah.
We don't want that at all, especially when the Mediterranean is right there,
yeah,
and it's so close to get imports and exports.
Apparently, you know, the do-gooders in Europe go out and rescue the refugees and bring them in, and they hadn't had this kind of invasion since the Crusades. I mean, since the Muslims invaded Europe, and Charles Martel stopped them, and that's the level that they've got. Well, I know you're a gun person, so obviously, it goes without saying, you protect gun rights.
Absolutely.
And you know, of course, my position is the federal government was never even given the power to do anything about firearms. Second Amendment was just secondary, because the enumerated powers don't say you can do anything about firearms. But, you know, it's like everything, it's just creeping like kudzu. More power, more expense, too.
Right. And I'm all for smaller government.
Absolutely.
As a conservative. But I'm seeing, you know, conservatives in Alabama are all for bigger government. You know, they're talking about gas taxes.
A lot of our friends just voted on mandatory seatbelt laws for the backseat passengers.
Right.
Now, when I'm in the backseat, I wear a seatbelt of one. But, you know, I don't think it's the government's business to be ordering people whether to put on a seatbelt or not.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, I know safety plays a part in that, but I look at the recent shootings in California at the school. It's a 16-year-old. No law on the books or currently being introduced would have stopped that 16-year-old from getting that weapon, because he's not allowed to buy that weapon.
Right. And then they tried to build up the Duncan, Oklahoma Walmart shooting as a mass shooting, when it was just the age-old ex-husband kills, you know, ex-wife and new boyfriend, and then bystander tries to stop it, he shoots himself.
So, right.
I mean, that's always going to happen.
Where's the individual accountability?
Right.
Where's the accountability on the adult that legally purchased that firearm that 16-year-old came into possession with?
Yeah.
I'd like to. I mean, if you're going to go after a pill mill doctor,
absolutely,
you might as well go after these people that are just not securing their firearms. Because you're 16, there's not any laws that would stop a 16-year-old.
You're not teaching them safety. You know, you've got a 6-year-old that fires a gun off. I mean, you either keep it away, you start early on the respect in teaching them gun safety.
Absolutely.
But because I found the ones that tend to do that are the ones that have never seen a gun, and, you know, it's like a pot of gold when they see it.
Right.
But you're right, there's no personal responsibility, which was really evident when Katrina hit. You know, the government had to tell everybody, when do you evacuate, and then feed us, rescue us. It's like, you know, come on, folks.
Yeah, you got to take care of yourself.
But the government likes that. It's a kind of a mutual deal.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like, you know, I guess getting somebody hooked on heroin. You've got a customer for life. So you're going to be at this debate Thursday night.
Absolutely.
So if anybody wants to, you ought to go out there, folks, and see. What do we have? Five candidates running.
That's right.
And no incumbent, obviously, and so it's wide open, and it ought to be a good debate, you know. Is it a particular time, like 1 hour, hour and a half? Or?
So WKRG, I believe, is airing it from 6 to 7 p.m., and then it's going to carry over for the last 30 minutes on 106.5. 106.5 okay. is going to carry it the full hour
good.
And a half.
Good.
And I believe Sean Sullivan's going to do a pre-debate and a post-debate. So it's just like a football game. So
right.
I've been telling people, expect a football game, expect entertainment. It's going to be entertaining, and it's going to be great for the district to see all these Republican candidates getting up there, and hopefully one of us, hopefully me, I differentiate myself by talking policy.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. And those things, people that complain and then never, you know, bother just to go 2 miles to see the candidates live. You know, originally Washington thought that we needed to have, I think it was 7,500 people per every member of Congress. He thought that was, you know, I think the original setup was 12,000. Now we've got, 700,000 or something like that?
I believe so.
Generally, it's very difficult to ever meet or know someone running for Congress or somebody serving in Congress.
Right, and we might actually lose a seat in Alabama, which is a very, very bad thing.
Yeah, no question about it.
Especially when it comes to divvying up federal funding.
Oh, yeah.
And that would mean that if we lost a seat, I think we would take on between 120,000 more.
And it'll be a racial problem, too, because
we'll have to redistrict.
Yeah, there's no question about it. So
that
would be bad. But, you know, when you've got California just exploding in growth from illegal aliens, you know.
I think that they're doing a better job at reporting accurate information on their census.
Yeah.
So I encourage...
Because it gives them more voters.
I encourage...
more representatives.
Everybody listening to the show, please fill out the census.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
You know, well, we got to step into a break now. Folks, if you want to call in and ask a question to John or anything about guns, 251-343-0106. We'll be back after the break.
Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I mean to kill you in 1 minute, Ned, or see you hanged in Fort Smith at Judge Parker's convenience. Which will it be?
I call that bold talk for a one-eyed fat man.
John Wayne, back with Armed Alabama. Want to give y'all some good news. Last week, a U.S. district judge in Boston held... that, you know, the Border Patrol has been taking the position, you're a U.S. citizen, you're coming back, they can just take your laptop, yourself, and they can just look through your private work papers, anything they want, as opposed to what it would take either to get a warrant or to have some type of grounds for looking at that. He held that they didn't have to have a warrant, but they had to have a reasonable, articulable suspicion, like, you know, why are you looking? If you're looking at that guy because he's on the watch list and he's acting nervous and, you know, hey, that's fine. But just to start, you know, grabbing, as we've all seen, you know, people that get a little power, they kind of take it to the extreme and they go through people's business records. So it looks like we got, I guess, is that
Adam,
another Adam. Everybody's name Adam. Hey, Adam.
How's it going?
Fine. How about you? What's up?
Pretty good, pretty good. I just wanted to add a comment on to what Mr. Castroni was saying.
Yeah. He ought to be able to hear you.
As far as the military side goes, with all the terrorism that we're having and everything, not necessarily us, but across the world. So, he's pretty much spot on.
You have your radio going in the background. I'll be all right, Bill. I think we got the gist. You know, 9/11 wouldn't happen if the laws had been enforced.
What?
True, but there are some things we can't, I guess, completely prevent. But the best way of prevention is actually offensive action. So a lot of people dispute our conflict in the Middle East specifically. But most of the public doesn't understand that, like, we're across the world. I mean, if you look at the Green Berets and everything like that, Mr. Casseroni's worked in the intelligence community, so he absolutely knows this.
Well, you don't think we can give all those terrorists jobs and laptops and they would be content and not hate us anymore?
Well, we focus on terrorism, but you think about down in Mexico and the cartels. We just recently saw the conflict with the... It was in one of the cities... Sorry, not good on my reference points right now. In one of the cities, one of the main drug lords got taken into custody.
El Chapo's son.
His whole cartel.
To show you how far it's gone.
And everybody can look up the videos on that.
Adam, when I was in 1963 or 4, I was 4 or 5 years old, my father, mother, all 4 or 5 children piled in the stage wagon and drove to Mexico City. Can you believe that? Nobody, you know, treated absolutely wonderfully.
I think Adam's point, and it's a point that I've been pushing for a long time, is that the troops that we discussed pulling out, and I don't want to be called a neocon for this. The troops that we're pulling out, the 26 members that we pulled out of Syria last month, and then put more back to secure the oil fields, those were SOF advisors, Special Operations Forces advisors, what we call SOF in our community. Those guys are doing the train, advise, and assist mission. They're teaching these guys intelligence gathering. They're teaching them how to gather biometrics.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm worried about the 780 other bases all around.
Right. So, but we need that. We've got to have that in order to teach these guys how to fight for themselves. Foreign internal defense is a big thing with the Green Berets right now. I know that President Trump has offered some assistance to the Mexican government should they need it. But I think that I tend to agree with the side of that a soft engagement will always be needed around the world. Less than 1% of your current U.S. population serves in the military in any capacity. It's less than half a percentage point of those that will serve in Special Operations Command. So those guys, they doubly volunteer and go through a rigorous pipeline and training. They want to deploy.
Thank you,
Forrest. So,
Adam, thank you for your call. We got a couple of calls lined up. Appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
Is that Gary, our next caller? Gary, how are you?
Hello.
What are you doing tonight?
I'm just on the road here. I hope this isn't too far in the weeds with this question, but you all talk about census in California, and it kind of jogged my memory. I've heard, and from a non-reputable source, that more people are leaving the state of Alabama than are moving in, which is a similar fate to our friends in California. Even though we are politically worlds away from them, are we in a similar situation with our population?
Well, I think that there was a series of articles in, I hate to say it, AL.com, you know, that blog you can find somewhere in the internet. But it was kind of interesting. But when you really looked at Alabama, how many, we were kind of cross-pollinating with, you know, Mississippi and, you know, the neighboring states, the net loss really wasn't that bad. But California, I wish they would secede. I think I would help them secede. Can you imagine how much more conservative the country would be without California involved in it? And I feel sorry for the people there, but I think it's a lost cause.
It would be, but a part of me likes... I like having the liberals around. They kind of give some entertainment.
Believe me, they're still Massachusetts.
All right.
And they're worse than anybody. Let's take
Lewis Fraley.
Yeah. How are you?
Hey, well, how's it going, guys? How you guys doing?
Pretty good. What's up?
Awesome. So, hey, I have a question for John. Actually, you know what? I know John from back in 5 years ago. We were actually sitting in a blocking point in Afghanistan. And he asked me what the stopping power was for a 458. And now I'm going to call him.
We were kind of afraid that might be coming.
See if he still remembers what that was.
I'm glad you didn't say knockdown power, because that's when I always go berserk.
Yeah, you were supposed to say knockdown power, Lewis. But, yeah, it's a great question. So let's talk a little bit about firearms. So I'm a 9mm guy for everyday carry.
And, John, one reason I am, too. let's just say, worst case scenario, bird flu, end of the world. There's so many 9mm rounds floating around.
Absolutely.
The military.
It's the NATO
you always find it.
Yeah. Right. So I'm preferable to a 9mm round, and I hate that argument of, well, it has no knockdown power.
Yeah, let's go to the bar and talk about
it. It's not a 45. It's
How
got
about
no knockdown
shot placement,
power.
You know?
But now, but nowadays, we've got all these plus B pluses. We've got these high pressurized rounds. You can get my favorite round is the Winchester Ranger T Series. It's 127 grain plus B plus. Mm-hmm. I know they're hard to get unless you're law enforcement, but if you can get your hands on a case, it's well worth the $25 for the 50 rounds that you'll get. And then when you talk about a 458 SOCOM or a 458 HAMR, get you a 300 blackout. Just go out there, buy you a 300 blackout for $400 from American Tactical. You can go to the elite gun store in Spanish Fort. I'm saying their name wrong, but
firearms cheaper and the ammunition's cheaper.
It's more plentiful. It's a neck down 223.5.
And there's some people though that just want, you know, the 50 calibers that they can spend. What is it, $12 a round or whatever it is?
Yeah, and I've got a friend that just bought a Beowulf.
Yeah,
and it kicks like a 30-06.
Oh
it's
yeah,
expensive.
Yeah, you're paying that much to have your shoulder replaced eventually.
Absolutely.
So, Gregory, New Jersey. I think I might know this Gregory.
Gregory, this is Gregory. Gentlemen, hello.
I was thinking about you the other day when I was telling people how uncivil the practice of law had gotten. I said, this isn't New Jersey. This is still the Deep South. How you been doing?
It's terrible. Terrible. You got to jump through hoops just to protect yourself in your own house.
That's right.
Forget about getting a concealed carry permit. Only the very wealthy and connected can do that in this state. It's the average working man can't afford it.
Oh, yeah. Did I see recently that property taxes in New Jersey are the highest in the nation?
Well, I'm not sure about that, so I can't. You know, I can't slander the government without having, you know, proper knowledge of it. But I wouldn't doubt it.
I think it's not the top, it's the top three.
Yeah, I know it's bad, and it's just getting worse.
Yeah, and then what happens, productive people start leaving.
Gregory, it sounds like you need to leave, man.
Yeah.
It sounds like you need to come.
We will send you a visa, not a visa card. We'll send you a visa, and you can come south of Mason Dixon.
Yeah, you need to come to Baldwin County or Mobile County, Alabama.
Yeah,
we have the Gulf of Mexico. It's nice here.
I'm looking at Pennsylvania because they're just better with the gun laws and everything else. But there's no the positives are quickly ending in New Jersey. I got a little wine in me tonight, so I'm not firing on all cylinders. I told you,
New Jersey. I just because you know I don't want to go anywhere without a gun, and I would just avoid New Jersey because I couldn't keep up with the laws there. You got so-called hollow points are illegal. Remember when the woman was fined $10,000 per round?
Those high capacity clips that they've got up there.
Yeah, high capacity.
Full semi-auto weapons are the devil. If you ever seen a full lever action or a full bolt action, those things will also kill you in an SKS.
And somebody that's really good can fire, like a Jerry Mishlag, he can fire them faster than I can a semi-automatic.
Yeah, upside down and still hit it.
So it's just, but it's the gun grabbers. It's the same people like Michael Bloomberg that don't want to let us buy our Super Gulp Coke if we want to.
Well,
he knows better than we do.
And I'll tell you, and I've got stepbrothers. And I took them, they're younger than me, 14 and 17, I believe. We took them to the FOP range, to shoot at the FOP range in Fairhope at Lodge 43. But we took them out there, they shot, I believe it was a Glock 17 or a Glock 19, and then they shot, I believe it was a Glock 30.
Mm-hmm.
They were hitting all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and we handed them my 300 blackout with an EOTech, and we backed them up to 25 meters.
I love EOTechs. I've got five of them.
They had, I'm telling you, a half dollar grouping, both of them, and they were, I mean, they were money.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about banning these weapons that look like assault weapons, they're easier for these individuals who can't fire a pistol. They're easier for them to learn
absolutely.
With, and they enjoy it, and it's
I've got several carbines in my house. Either 9mm, I've got a Tavor in my study. But that's what I've got because that is so much easier, especially under stressful circumstances.
And they're fun.
Yeah, and so it's just, a handgun's great in a lot of ways, but if you can have other options, keep the handgun for the car and the carry and all that and have something else in the house.
Just remember, Judge, go cyclic.
Yeah.
Or also full semi-automatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Full semi-automatic.
Yeah, I destroyed $700 worth of bump fire stocks, and I've got a video showing. Folks, we got to go to break. Gregory, thank you for calling.
You're
Call
welcome,
us again.
Gentlemen. Have a good night.
Bye. You too. We'll be right back, folks.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck.
All right, welcome back to Armed Alabama. We still got a good show for you left here. You can give us a call at the studio, 251-343-0106. You can also join us on Facebook Live on our Facebook page, and that's Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. And please like and save and follow us while you're there. Of course, we're also simulcasting, along with Facebook, we're simulcasting on our YouTube channel, and that's just simply Armed Alabama. So glad you could join us tonight and hang with us here to the break. Joining us
tonight, we have 183 past audio archive shows available for downloading. Got the links everywhere at SoundCloud, so you can download any of those you want.
Perfect. You got 3.5 years of show. Can you believe that, Judge?
Yeah.
So we have in the studio with us tonight Congressional 1 District candidate John Castorani. Right, Castorani.
Castorani.
Yeah, okay,
we
great.
We learned how to say Kenobi finally.
Hey. So. Right. That's almost as bad as Strange. You know.
Hey, he's got a good catchy slogan.
Well, you shortened it from Strange Love, so.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So, thank you for being with us. Real quick, we're coming to the end of the show, and we've enjoyed having you in the studio with us. Thank you for sitting in the studio. Real quick, how can people find out more about you as far as website, Facebook page, or anything? And also, real quick, what do you think qualifies you for to represent Congressional District 1 in Alabama within the U.S. Congress?
A $4,000 check or $3,500, whatever you had to pay.
So you guys can find me at castoraniforcongress.com, and I'll spell Castorani, it's Castorani. forcongress.com. All of my social media platforms are JOHN, John Castorani, Castorani. You can follow us there. I think we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And then we're looking for volunteers, and we're looking for anybody that wants to help out on the campaign trail, because I know that we're going to do a lot of door knocking very soon. Probably after the holidays. With the holidays coming up, it's probably going to be a little bit of a lull. Now, for your second part of your question, what qualifies me? I'm the only veteran running on the Republican ticket, and I'm going to keep hammering that home. And I hammer that home because in the military, it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, what race you are, what religion you are, who you follow, who you believe in, what political party you're in. You guys are given an objective, and you have to work together to complete that objective. I personally, as a lifelong member of District 1, and I moved away, I'm tired of partisan politics. I'm tired of us not in Congress not getting anything done. We haven't passed a full budget since the 90s. I think it was 1996 when they instituted this new process to pass budgets. It's continuing resolution after continuing resolution. That's unacceptable. Veterans in Congress are at 18%. In the Reagan era, which most of us Republicans and conservatives view as a great time to be a Republican, there was over 85% veterans in Congress. And I think that that's why we're having issues, is because no one can swallow their pride. You got to realize, yes, you work for your constituents in your district, but you're federal. You've got to work together. Although, you know, it might not be great for your district, it might be really, really great for Huntsville, which in the end of the day is great for Alabama. As long as it doesn't raise your taxes, I've signed a pledge to never, ever vote for raising taxes, and I've signed a pledge for term limits. And I go beyond that pledge for term limits because the term limit pledge only says that I will introduce legislation that will never pass for three terms as a House rep, which is 6 years, and two terms for Senate, which is 12 years. I'm going a step further. I'm telling you guys, if I am elected, if I get that chance, I will not serve more than three terms. You have my word on that. Congress has become a retirement community. And I can name Republicans, but I'm going to name Democrats for you guys. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, over 100 years of service in Congress. Can anybody tell me what they've been able to accomplish other than passing Obamacare?
Raising the debt
and raising
taxes, yeah.
Yeah, and then we another thing that's important to me is we've got to remember that our veterans are committing suicide at an alarming rate, around 6,000 per year. And since this is Armed Alabama, I'll tell you there's only like 5,500 gun deaths in America each year, right? Like homicides and crimes. Over 6,000 veterans are committing suicide, over 60,000 in the past decade, most of those from the Vietnam War and the global war on terror. That has got to stop, so we need to look at health care. And I've got a plan to introduce a health care bill that would put all of our military up under the federal employee health insurance plan, right? These full-bird colonels that make $130,000, $140,000 a year, they can afford to pay $250 or $300 a month for health insurance. Our E6s, our enlisted guys that have families, you know, maybe their wife can't work or she's going through school using his GI Bill, they don't have to pay. But most military families are healthy. They have to take physicals every year, twice a year in some cases. They got to get drug tested. And it would lower the cost of health insurance for federal employees across the board. And that would also go into the topic of how do we pay for veterans care outside
Medicare
of the VA.
For all. How about that?
But you cannot offer a plan to provide veterans outside care to the VA without raising taxes. Who pays for it? So we need to look at a way where we've gone away from the standard 20 years in, you get 50% of your base pay for life. Now, and people are grandfathered in, but now if you join, you get what's called BRS, Blended Retirement System. And that allows you to contribute to a 401k style investment plan called the TSP, Thrift Savings Plan. I think we institute...
And that's in addition to the retirement. You have that option too?
No, so... If you're grandfathered in, you have the option of the TSP. They just don't match you.
Yeah.
Now they're going to match you. But this means after you leave after 7 years, 12 years, you don't leave with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You leave with something that you can transfer or roll over to your next employer.
Yeah.
I'm talking about taking that $200, $300 a month from those higher-ranking people and putting that towards their health care after they get out. Right? And then the lower-ranking people, the government would then subsidize and give them a health care savings account so that when they do get out, it's not a burden to the taxpayers. And then we're also talking about legislation that would prohibit the federal government from backing all of these student loan debts, right? I think the Heritage Foundation can list like 6 or 7 people right now that have over $1 million in student loan debt.
That's because they just stay
in college.
Yeah.
And the federal government secures those loans and backs those loans. And no thanks to the GI Bill. The GI Bill is what really kicked that off. The federal government backing these bills. But, you know, if we limit it, you know, and I think there's bills that have been introduced, 30K is the max if you're going to undergrad. 70K total if you're going to grad school.
When I started law school, the tuition was $1,800 a year at Alabama. It's $28,000 a year now.
Right.
And if it was tied to inflation, it'd be about $6,000.
Absolutely. So we need
That's an interesting point.
Right. Yeah. And we need to talk about, you know, maybe you need to give this to the banks where these kids will go, and I get it, with no credit history, but you go to the banks and you say, hey, I want to go to the University of X, and I want to study this program, and I want to go work in this career field. This is why you should let me borrow your money. This is all stuff that needs to happen.
Right. We could talk this kind of thing all night long.
Tune in Thursday, though.
Yes, absolutely. So if you're interested, definitely you want to go to the Republican debate Thursday night, the first congressional district Republican debate. You can find more about it on the Republican Mobile County Republican Party Facebook page, and definitely you can get your tickets on Eventbrite. So just real quick to cap up, we were talking about a while ago as far as people leaving states. New York is number one. California is number two. Illinois is number three. New Jersey, who we had a caller from tonight, is number four. Louisiana, that's kind of surprising, and they are moving to Texas, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee. Pennsylvania, Maryland, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and lastly is Kansas at number 10.
My mother moved from Kansas right after she was born. She stayed there about 3 months. Folks, we'll see you next week on Armed Alabama, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock.
So long and shaggy, like the hippies out in San Francisco.
Francisco do.
And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares